The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. Glad you're here. Save me from myself. How are you doing?
Boker tov, shavua tov. Yeah, I'm not sure who I'm going to save who from today. It's all a little mad, to be honest. And I was just reading the outgoing remarks of Iranian President Hassan Rouhani.
Yes, was that?
And I mean, really. So this is what he said. What we told people was not contrary to reality, but we did not tell part of the truth to people. This is how he's leaving office.
Look, he's not Winston Churchill. I mean, I don't know if it was meant to be, this is not the beginning nor the end or the beginning, but the beginning of the end. But either way, what did he say? So it wasn't, just repeat that.
What we told people was not contrary to reality, but we did not tell part of the truth to people. I think he's meant that, you know, there were bits which were withheld, I think in very, very polite kind of understated terms. But I think there's a lot that was told that was really like, you know, not the reality at all. And this is how his legacy will, be remembered. You know, this is how he leaves 8 years in office, by admitting that he really wasn't that honest with the Iranian people. I mean, if you're not going to be, I don't even know if we can believe this, to be honest.
Yeah, well, it's actually so interesting, and it's one of our stories later on. But even the quote, you know, that story about not telling the truth to their people, it stood in Arutz Sheva, Israel National News, directly next to a quote of his that says, when they were asked about this Iranian, if Iran attacked this vessel, they said the Zionist regime has created insecurity, terror, and violence. These accusations about Iran's involvement are condemned by Tehran. And you look at that in the same context, and you think, like, what? What are they? Maybe it just doesn't translate well to English.
I don't know. It doesn't translate well to Parsi, I think, you know, to be honest with you. I think the whole thing is just such a farce. You know, there's really not one word that we can believe that comes out of that regime. Honestly, not what they tell their own people, and certainly not what they tell the international community.
While we're on the subject, maybe let's talk about that, the fact that Iran is being blamed for an attack on a ship managed by an Israeli company that killed two of its crew members.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is an attack that took place in the Gulf of Oman over the weekend. And, of course, a lot has been written and said about this because a drone was used to attack the ship that actually killed two members of crew. It's a Liberian-flagged vessel called Mercer Street. It's actually Japanese-owned but managed by an Israeli owner. And so I think that, you know, obviously the Israeli link to it seems to have been the reason why they chose to attack this ship. It's one of a series of attacks that have been taking place backwards and forwards on the high seas against vessels linked to Israel and Iran. But this time, I think they kind of just took it a step too far. I think that it's just taken beyond what the tit-for-tat situation was up until now with these two people having been killed on board. Neither of them are Israeli nationals, but nonetheless, one was a Romanian citizen, one a British national, but nonetheless, it's an Israeli managed ship and therefore very much closely associated with Israel. And the Israeli government has gone into a full gear ahead in order to try to get international condemnation of this particular attack. So far, the US and the UK have both made statements in the form of US Secretary of State Antony Blinken and UK Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab, both made statements saying that Iran was behind the attack that took place on Friday off the coast of Oman. Of course, Iran, as you said, have already denied this. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has said to the cabinet, I determined with absolute certainty, those were his words, I've determined with absolute certainty that Iran carried out the attack against the Israeli, against the ship. And he says that intelligence evidence does exist and that, of course, he expects the international community to make it clear to the Iranian regime that they've made a serious mistake. Now, you know, and then he went on to say, of course, that in any case, we know how to send a message to Iran in our own way. Iran's thuggishness endangers not only Israel, but also harms global interests, namely freedom of navigation and international trade. So I don't think that this is going to cause a war, an open war to break out between Iran and Israel. But the good news for Israel, at least, is that both the UK and the US are both very, very influential in world economics and world activities, have clearly made their statements, and very, very quickly indeed. So they understood, you know, without having to wait ages and ages and ages for proof, that this was definitely an attack that was carried out by Iran. The question is, what happens next in terms of the international community response to this particular event? In other words, we know that the U.S. still seems hell-bent on re-entering that agreement, the nuclear agreement with Iran. The Biden government seems to have taken the decision that by one way or another, they will re-enter that agreement. The UK seems very intent upon staying within that agreement. We now see these attacks taking place on the high seas, which, according to those government officials, are undoubtedly carried out by Iran. So how does this, you know, how do the two things tie in together? It seems as if the response to the Iranian nuclear agreement is not commensurate with what we are seeing in terms of Iran's behavior in the international community. And those are the things that I can't tie, but it's all fine and well for these government officials to admit that Iran is responsible. What next? What happens now? Israel, of course, will respond in its own way, but what about the rest of the international community? What next?
Yeah, it's just amazing how this has been a very slow escalation, but it really is going. I guess my concern is that when you have this type of situation, it can take one almost seemingly minor event to trigger something bigger,
exactly.
Because it's almost like it's been waiting to happen.
Yeah, I mean there is certainly a spark that's burning there, and this could explode very, very easily out of control, no doubt at all. And of course, Israel is doing whatever it can to lay the groundwork to make sure that Iran is being blamed for these activities. But as I say, you know, being blamed and making statements is one thing. Taking firm action is still missing at the moment.
Yeah. Really, really a crazy situation. What is wonderful is Israel won two more Olympic medals over the weekend, including a gold medal in men's gymnastics. Give us some more details.
So the first medal that was won was a bronze medal in the judo team event. Now, this is a first for the Olympic Games. We've never had a judo team event before. And the judo team event involved six members of each team going up against each other. You would think that they would have an odd number, don't you? Like you want there to be a winner whichever way it is, but in fact the way that it works is that there's six members in each team. Each one is drawn against the other, both men and women in each team, each one with a particular weight category. So they are drawn against somebody else of the opposing team in their own weight category. And then if there is a tie at the end of the sixth bout, then there is a sudden death bout, and Israel actually lost to France in the sudden death bout when they came across the French team, who ultimately went on to win the gold medal, but managed to recover from that particular loss to come back and beat the Russian team, which is, of course, competing not under the Russian flag, but under the Russian Olympic Committee official logo, beat the Russian team for the bronze medal. A lot of excitement because there was some disappointment with the Israeli judo performance. Israel has got world-class judoka. There can be no doubt about that. They have lots and lots of success in international competitions, world championships, European championships, always a lot of success. Then came the Olympic Games. No medals for the individuals. during the competitions in the Olympic Games, and that was considered to be really, really disappointing for the Israeli judo team. But they certainly came back in a big way and took the bronze medal in the team event. And I think it was quite exciting. I quite like these team events. It's a relatively new thing. It's not only in judo that they have the team events, but they also have mixed relays now in swimming and in athletics, and even a mixed relay in the triathlon, which was really exciting. So I quite like these mixed team events. I think that it shows a little bit more than just simply one individual coming up against each other, but it's more of a team effort. And I think Israel generally is quite good at team things. But when it came yesterday down to the floor exercise at the men's gymnastics, Israel was holding its breath for Artem Dolgopiat, who is an immigrant from the Ukraine, came at the age of 12 years old with his parents to Israel, and yesterday won Israel's first gold medal in 16 years, or actually 17 years, because it was actually 2004 that Gal Friedman won gold medal in the windsurfing. And now Israel has finally achieved its second gold medal. Lots and lots of pride and a great deal of excitement when Artem stood on the top of the podium with Hatikva playing. There's a lot of emotion about it because
it was incredible. I found it an incredibly emotional experience. Like just hearing Hatikva playing while he stood receiving that medal. And there was something about his humility that made it even more so. You know, he wasn't raising his fist in victory, you know, saying I'm the best in the world, which he is. There was something about him that I found very, very moving. And I'm not sure what that was.
I think he is someone who we can certainly take a lot of inspiration from. As I say, a young teenager came to Israel with his parents, didn't have things easy. Language is a problem. Culture is a problem. He was an athlete. He came along to try to pursue. I mean, he was already identified as somebody with a talent in gymnastics, and he came to pursue that. And, you know, one wouldn't have necessarily chosen Israel to be the place to exceed to excel gymnastically. It's not well known to be a country that, you know, produces excellent gymnasts. I mean, we do have a good gymnastics basis here, and much of that comes from the immigrants from the former Soviet Union. And so Israel might not necessarily have been the first address, but he came here. His father is Jewish, his mother not Jewish. And, you know, that in itself has become an issue because of the fact that he himself halachically is not Jewish, and yet he's representing the state of Israel and immensely proud to be doing so. I mean, he showed such pride and, you know, made statements to really show that he is a true patriot and represented Israel with everything that he had without any hesitation whatsoever, in spite of, you know, not having been born here. And I think that we can certainly be proud of him and his achievements, and also the hardships. You know, we can take inspiration from the hardships that he's been through. He's brought tremendous honor to the state of Israel.
Yeah, just absolutely incredible. Before I let you go, very quickly, the third dose or booster has now started happening in Israel, the first country.
Exactly. On Thursday, I said to you, you know, within the next 2 weeks, I can see that we're going to have to do something with the rising number of new diagnoses of COVID in Israel. I didn't expect Friday morning to wake up to find that they're already rolling out vaccines, third doses of vaccines to all over 60s in Israel. The plan is to vaccinate 1.5 million over 60s in Israel within the next 8 days. President Buzi Herzog was one of the first to turn up and show his arm to get his third dose of vaccine. At the moment, the vaccine is not yet one which is specially amended to try to cope with the Delta variant. So I think there was a hope that we might get to a point where there is a new vaccine that can specifically cope with this. That is not the case. We're having the vaccines that we've had up until now, either a Pfizer or a Moderna vaccine. That's rolling out at the moment. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, especially over the upcoming holiday period.
And that's where we leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow morning.